Matthew chapter 25. I've got quite a lengthy opening here before I get to our text, so you guys are just going to have to bear with me. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. Father, we ask now your blessing upon our time here, Father, in that your Holy Spirit would anoint, Lord. Because, Father, it is the Holy Spirit anointing, Lord, that we seek, that we desperately need, Father. So we ask in Jesus' name that you would anoint us to hear, to receive, and, Father, we believe for it. Amen and amen. This is our last message in a series of messages that I'm calling Transformation. And I believe with all that is in me, and I believe I can back it up scripturally, that every one of us have been created with a certain purpose by God. That somehow or another he has woven into our DNA what it is that we're supposed to be doing for him. I believe that 100%. I believe that there is a lot of unused potential that's ended up in the graveyard. People that have gone through their whole lives not knowing what it is that God wants them to do here on this earth. And thus, you know, they might be very successful in the occupation they may have chosen. They may have been a successful, mom, dad, so on and so forth. I'm not talking about a bad person. I'm just saying that sometimes we can live our whole lives and not really realize the potential that God has laid on the inside of us. It's just waiting to just spill out all over this planet that you and I live on. And it's said whenever I drive by a graveyard and I look, and that just kind of resonates in me. How many of those individuals died with unfulfilled potential on the inside of them? Years and years ago, whenever I was a children's pastor, I attended a conference, and it was one of these things where, you know, you have those moments that just seem to solidify some things that God has been doing on the inside of you that you're not quite sure of yet, but you know something's up. I went to this conference, and there was a man named Jim Gerhold, who was a children's pastor, I believe, in Austin, Texas. And I went to one of his workshops, and he taught this workshop. The name of it was called Think Big. And whenever I took that class, I was actually skinny. No, that wasn't what the class was about. The whole crux of his message that day was that we need to think bigger than we usually think whenever it comes to the things we do with God. Because I want to just tell you right up front, man, God's a big thinker. Come on. And sometimes we limit ourselves by the education that we have. We limit ourselves by the money we have. We limit ourselves by the size of congregation we are. We limit ourselves sometimes because we don't have any experience in that area. We don't have one thing or another, and so we put limitations on ourselves, and we say, you know, man, I wish I could do that, but I can't. Folks, let me just make sure we all understand something. God is a big thinker, and what many times we have woven on the inside of us never gets to escape because we don't think big enough. Jim taught this message about thinking big. Said he was teaching a lesson to his kids called Be Bold as a Lion. He got to thinking while he was preparing. He said, man, if I could get me a real lion in children's church, man, that'd be awesome. I could teach this lesson and I probably wouldn't have any back talk from the kids. They'd probably be quiet. Because we could make a rule out that says, thou that talkest will be fedest to the lion. So in the state of Texas, one of the things that you have to come to conclusion is you can pretty much get anything you want there. So he got in the Yellow Pages and began to find if there was a lion for rent. And sure enough, he found a lion for rent. He calls this guy on the phone. The guy says, yeah, I got about a little over 400-pound male lion. He said, I'd be glad to bring him to your children's church. He says, you know, we work with him in crowds all the time, and it costs you about $400. Now, you got to understand, this has been 35 years ago. $400 is a lot of money. $400 is a lot of money for any children's pastor to spend on one lesson in children's church. And Jim said, man, I just can't afford that. You know, it's just terrible. And he said, but, you know, thank you for your time. He hung up the phone and he said, Lord, I want that lion. I'd really love to have that lion. And he began to pray about it. He said, God, I really want that lion. A few days went by. The guy that has lion calls him on the phone and says, listen, he said, I'm going to be in Austin that day. And he said, I got a thing that afternoon that they're paying the whole way. And he said, so if you want me to run this by Children's Church, he said, I could, just for maybe pay my expenses across town, like $25. Jim said, sold. So he's teaching this lesson on being bold as a lion, and I mean right in the middle of it, here comes this guy wheeling this 400-pound male lion out, and I mean all the kids' eyes were this big around. And you know, the thing is, the whole point of this message was, whenever these kids got in the car that day and they're going home and their mom says, you know, hey, what did you learn in children's church today? They go, oh, Jesus stuff. No, man, these kids are going, no, mother, there was a lion, 400 pounds, it was huge teeth. And I guarantee you this, every one of those kids still remember that lesson today. Whenever the 400-pound lion came to church. You know what I'm saying? And Jim just said, hey, listen, guys. He said, think big. God is a big God. He has all the provision. He can do whatever you need him to do. I have to tell you that that lesson changed my life. Because up until that time, you see, I was born and raised in small town New Mexico. I bragged to people about me graduating in the top 20 of my graduating class from high school. I go, yeah, man, 20. But there was only 21 of us, and we were the largest class that has ever existed at that school. My oldest brother graduated from his school. He was valedictorian, and there was only 6 people in his class. And the other 5 were stupid, so no wonder he graduated. I told him it doesn't count when you only have 6 people and you're valedictorian. He's always hated me for that. I grew up in small towns, and whenever you grow up in small towns, sometimes you have this finite idea that you can't do a whole lot. I wasn't educated. I mean, I barely graduated from high school. Are you understanding? And God began to move in my life, and everything about my life was, I just wanted it small, just wanted it small, just wanted it small. But God began to say, no, I want it big. I want it big. I want you to make an impact bigger than you think you can make an impact. I want you to do more than you think you can do. I want you to do things that you are not qualified to do. I want you to do things that you are not educated to be able to do. And man, it just really confused me until that day that I went to Jim Gerhold's meeting and he says, hey, think big. And I said, man, I'm going to start thinking big. And I want you to understand, I'm not boasting or anything, but I'm just telling you, God has given me amazing opportunities to serve him in amazing ways in his kingdom. The last church I was at in Children's Pastor, we had over 450 kids every morning in Children's Church. That's a lot of kids. We had about 220 preschoolers. About 200 babies in the nursery. 425 adults circulated through that whole system every week to serve the Royal Rangers and Missionettes and nursery. Over 400 adults every week. And I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, man, I want to tell you, whenever I first started in children's ministry, there was no way on God's green earth that I would have ever dreamed he would have put me in that place. Never. We had more people in our church than I had in the last 2 towns I lived in put together. I'm just saying, how did he ever take a hick from the hills of New Mexico and do that in my life? I'm so privileged and so blessed, undeserved of the opportunities that God has given me, but yet he gave them to me. And so this morning I'm preaching about transformation. And I just got to let you know, there's got to be some people that begin to step up all over the world and start to do big things for God. Because we are living in a day, folks, whenever we need some people to make some major impacts on the darkness that surrounds us. We've got to have some people that begin to rise, not only in the generation that we've seen up there on that screen this morning, because those young people are coming up, and God is doing something unique in these young people. And I'm believing with all that is in me that these young people are going to catch fire. And let me just tell you something, folks. You don't need to advertise a fire. People just come. But there's a whole lot of people that are not where they're at going down the water slide. You see, there's people like me. I'm 55 years old, and I'm thinking maybe I'm nearing the end of my ministerial career. I'm telling you, God is like never before speaking to me. He's saying, man, I got something big for you. And in this room, we got all different kinds of ages in this place. We got all kinds of people from different backgrounds of socially and economically and education. We've got all different kinds of people, but I'm telling you that not one of you in this room is finished with what God has for you. There is something big that He wants to put inside of your hands to make an impact on this earth. I mean, we had people in the past that, you know, they've gone on to be with the Lord, like Charles Finney and Smith Wigglesworth, and I mean, even people like Mr. Wilkerson, who started Teen Challenge. You know, men and women of God, Amy Simple McPherson and Catherine Kuhlman, and so many of these names that have gone on before us, man, and they have made incredible impacts in their communities, in the world. Guys like George Mueller that fed thousands of orphans and so ministered the Word of God. But man, I'm looking for some names today. I went back and I began to think, man, who is doing it big on the earth today? And folks, I want to tell you something. That's a short list. It's a short list. So I don't know, man. I may be preaching this message to... I mean, maybe, just maybe, there's nobody in this room right now. That's going to do anything big for God before they die. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we've been just destined to sit here on this little spot on 441 and just come to church on Sundays and love one another and love kids and, you know, just have a nice little safe church. Or, I like this or. Maybe there's a whole slew in this room that's somewhere woven into your DNA. You don't even know it yet, but it's woven in there, and God is saying, man, I got something for you that is going to change the fabric of this community, that's going to change the fabric of this world. Maybe you're the next D.L. Moody. Maybe you're the next Finney. Are y'all with me? Maybe you're the next Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know. Maybe you're the next Amy Simple McPherson. Maybe you're the next Cor Ten Boom. Are y'all there? There's got to be some people coming up are going to be the next ones. I mean, everybody looks at Billy Graham and the amazing impact that he's had on the world throughout his lifetime. Billy Graham, he's coming to the end of his ministry. And yeah, he's got a son. But folks, I want to tell you something. If we had 10,000 Billy Grahams right now, it wouldn't be enough to reach the world for Jesus Christ. But we got to have a whole bunch more of them. Men and women that stand up and say, man, there's something inside of me, and I'm right now I'm going to make a decision to start thinking as big as I possibly can, so as that God can use my life, not in something small, but something big to change the world. And you have to understand this. It may not be preaching to millions of people like Billy Graham did, but it may be changing the life of somebody like D.L. Moody, as a Sunday school teacher did, hauling him back and forth to church in his bread truck on Sundays, and just teaching him every Sunday about God, and teaching him every Sunday about salvation. And God loved him, and D.L. Moody grew up to be a world changer. So the next question I got to ask you, was it D.L. Moody that was the world changer, or was it his Sunday school teacher that was the world changer? See, you can do something big right here in this local assembly by changing the lives of people. That's big. That's as big as it gets. But before we go to be a life changer, there's something that I got to address this morning, and I really believe that it is one of those, y'all know what a chalk block is, right? Something whenever your automobile is stationary and you don't have any brakes, you put it underneath the tire. It could be a big log of wood. They even make these fancy chalk blocks now that are made out of nice stuff, and they're all triangular, and you just scoot them right up under the tire. I can remember whenever I was a young person, there was a guy I worked with. His dad told him to get a chalk block and put it underneath the tire, so he did, and we jacked the pickup up. The jack fell, and the pickup rolled off, and his dad was real mad at him because the thing he got to be a chalk block was about the size of a softball, or a baseball, I mean. It wasn't big enough to hold the truck back. He said, I told you to get a chalk block, not a little rock like that. Glad it wasn't me, because I would have probably chose the same rock. What happens many times in our life, we get up against a chalk block. And we want to go forward. We've got all the power to go forward, but we can't because that chalk block is holding us back. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. This is Matthew chapter 25. And many of you are familiar with this portion of Scripture. I'm going to read it all because you've got to read it all. This is Matthew 25 and verse number 14 is where I want to start. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and the other 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he had received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'd like to read you one more scripture, and this is out of Philippians chapter 4. And it's verse number 13. It's a well-memorized scripture. This is what it says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I got to tell you, whenever you get to this part here in Matthew 25, verse 25, there is a big, huge gap whenever you read it, and then you read Philippians 4:13. It says, and I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. See, the one here in Matthew The one statement was made by a man who was afraid to fail, and he did nothing. Philippians 4:13 was made by a man who was free to fail and did everything. See, this guy who wrote Philippians, his name was the Apostle Paul. And let me just tell you what the Apostle Paul did. And I'm going to just put it in vernacular. Hopefully we can all understand. He tore it up for Jesus Christ. Come on now. I mean, he got born again. And I'm telling you, he just went berserk, thinking that the whole world needed to hear about Jesus. And it was all his responsibility to tell the whole world. And literally, this guy went crazy preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now y'all understand, he tore it up for the kingdom, man. I mean, man, everywhere you went, this church was built by Paul. This church was built by Paul. This church was built by Paul. I mean, he built churches all over the place. Not really talking about the building as much as I am talking about the people. Paul was an amazing man of God. And I'll tell you why Paul was so amazing. Because he never once in all of his lifetime made a mistake. That's it. Paul never, ever failed at anything he did. He was just good, and he just never had a failure. And if any of you all believe that, you shouldn't. Because Paul bit the dust a lot of times. Paul made dumb decisions, and Paul did dumb things. Come on. He was a failure many times. But you have to understand that you have a guy here in Matthew 25:25, and he was a guy who was fearful of failing. He said, man, what if I go out there and I take the one talent that he's given me and I invest that talent and I come back with nothing? You see, he was so fearful of doing that that he literally did not do anything. The Apostle Paul said, listen, man, if I go out there and fail, I'll tell you one thing. I've got a Jesus that's going to make it all right. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But so often what you and I run up against is we have a chalk block under our wheels, and it is a chalk block of fear of failure. Because we have a society that we've grown up in, folks, and I want to tell you something. Being good and achieving is the ultimate pinnacle. Oh, if I could just throw the ball like that, if I could just run like that, if I could just catch like that, if I could just sing like that. Oh, I used to think there wasn't a whole lot of difference in between pro athletes and just athletes like me. Okay, I'll skip that. Just people like me. I've never been an athlete. I run like kind of like a giraffe, only slower. Yesterday I was fishing, and just to tell you how clumsy I am, I've blamed this on Clinton. I told everybody he pushed me in the water, but he didn't. He asked me how long the fish was that I'd just caught. And so I was out in the middle of the creek, and it was pretty hairy, and I was in a lot of water, and I turned, and I went this long. And when I did, I lost my balance, and everything went underwater except for my shoulder and my head. And the audacity of the three young men that were with me, they laughed about it. How do you lose your balance whenever you turn like this? That was me. I'm not athletic. We think we got to be athletic like these pros. Man, I went to the first pro golf tournament that I'd ever seen, and these guys hit the ball like I've never seen anybody hit the ball. Went to the first tennis tournament, and these guys hit a tennis ball like I've never seen them hit it. They hit that tennis ball so fast you can't see it. I went home and I thought, I'm going to be a plumber. But our whole society is wound around these few successful people that are up here at the top. And so often we don't even want to try because we're scared we're not going to reach for these heights up here. We'll never be able to achieve these heights up here. And so we have a community of people in the United States that so often we don't even want to try because we're scared to fail. And in the kingdom, I believe it's a little bit similar. Folks, let me just tell you something about the Bible. Whenever you read it and you really study it, some of the greatest achievements in the history of God's kingdom have come by very ordinary, very imperfect people who have overcome failure. Listen to me. They've overcome failure to be used by God in a hugely significant way. I mean, some guys and gals out there that have just blown it and blown it big time. They've overcome that failure to be used by God in amazing ways. Their lives literally are models, are literally biblical principles for overcoming failure. Folks, you have to understand, it's not ever going to get done in the kingdom of God. That you have inside of you, unless you step out and begin to do it. Tommy Barnett, a great pastor in Phoenix, Arizona, one of his stories is that church in Phoenix just has hundreds and hundreds of ministries that they just reach out every week and minister to thousands of people around the community. And Tommy Barnett's motto was this. He said, guys, let me tell you how to get involved in a ministry. If you're wanting to get involved in a ministry, he said, you go out in our community and you find a need somewhere and then you start meeting that need. And whenever you start meeting that need, God's going to be and anoint you, and pretty soon that's going to be a ministry. And indeed, hundreds of people looked at Tommy Barnett and go, you know something, I'm going to try to do that. And indeed, they launched out in the community of Phoenix, and that church runs probably 11,000 or 12,000 people today, and they minister to thousands and thousands all over that community. They bring in busloads of homeless people and minister to them. They give them showers and clean clothes and feed them and minister the word of God to them. And it's just ministry after ministry after ministry. And even whenever you start looking at it, all that it started with was just somebody going out there and saying, man, you know something? These young mothers that have no direction in their life because their families are not attached to them, these young mothers, I'm going to teach them how to be mothers to these infant babies they have. Going out into the community and finding men that are homeless and starting to minister to those men. Start to bring them off of the streets and give them something to get involved in and work with and to build their self-esteem and help them over the problems that they have. Ministry after ministry after ministry. This morning, folks, I'm telling you, we got to begin to go out into this community, go out into this world that's around us and find a need. And then we got to begin to meet that need, and God will begin to develop a ministry around that. Whew, that's scary. I mean, literally, that's scary. This morning, so as to not make it as scary, I want to give you a permission slip. Were any of y'all ever in the hallways of your school without one? A ton of times I was. I was a bad, bad guy. But every once in a while, I had permission to be in the hallway. It was awesome. One time in the seventh grade, I had permission. I had a note in my hand, and I was walking down through the hallway because I had permission. I was looking in every single classroom. What y'all doing in there? I'd go on down to the next one. What y'all doing? You know, I still do that on all the homes I drive by. I want to see what they're watching on TV. Don't look at me like that. You do it too. This particular day, I had permission, man. I had this slip in my hand that gave me permission to be in the hallway. And I was walking down through there looking, and I ran into one of these crazy windows that folds into the hallway. Real sharp metal corner on it. I pierced my ear and my head. Went right through both of them. Well, not all the way through my head, but I remember going back to the office and blood's going everywhere. They said, what'd you do? I had permission. I had permission to be in the hallway. See, what we need is a permission slip to think big. We need a permission slip to fail a few times, because folks, I promise you this, you're never going to get it all right. You're never going to do everything just perfect. You may hear from God and God may give you this amazing vision, so on and so forth, but you're still going to mess up every once in a while. And what happens whenever you mess up so often is you start to say, no, you know, I don't want to do it, because I have this fear that if I fail, God's going to kick me out of the club. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God has never kicked anybody out of the club. They've left because they wanted to. First thing I got to tell you about fear, this fear of failure, to kind of give you a permission slip to fail. Because if we don't have a permission slip to fail, we'll probably never succeed. Oh, when I first went into full-time ministry, I thought I had to do everything perfect, or the board would take me out back and lynch me. I can remember the first big boneheaded thing that I did, and going into the pastor's office and sitting down in the chair. And I mean, I just knew he was going to fire me or shoot me one. I confessed to him, and he already knew it. The gossips that are in the church. I told him, I said, man, I did this. This was really dumb. He said, it's okay, man. He said, no big deal. He said, just clean it up and keep going. And it wasn't actually a mess like that. It was another kind of mess. So I had to go back to the people and make things right. And I was amazed when I walked out of the office, because that's all he told me. He said, just clean it up and just keep going. I go, I'm not dead and I'm not fired. He was an awesome pastor. I'm not like that. First thing you got to do is this. Don't try to hide or conceal your failures. Some people spend their lives trying to cover up their mistakes. They literally become prisoners to pretense. They go around fabricating, and they go around literally living in a delusional world, because folks, this is what I will tell you about myself. I am a failure. You turn me loose for very long, I will mess up something. Come on. My dad used to tell me, son, you can tear up an anvil in a sand pile with a rubber hammer. And I proved him right, for heaven's sake. Folks, we are all failures. We're going to mess up every now and then. There's not anybody in this room that is walking in perfection. So the first thing you got to do is, man, don't conceal your failures. Don't walk around saying, man, you know, I'm great and I'm this and so on and so forth. A lot of times whenever we're like that, we live a charade of a life. We live a life that's full of hypocrisy. The first thing about failures is to admit them. I learned to admit them to my senior pastor early on. I tried to hide things from him, but like I said, the church had too many gossips. 1 John 1:8-9, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Folks, that's what the Bible says. If there's any place where we should be able to admit our failures, folks, I got to tell you, it's in church. We ought to be able to come in and say, listen, man, I've blown it big time. And we ought to be a people that grabs a hold of those individuals and embraces their lives instead of saying, man, we shun you. The church isn't perfect. Christians aren't perfect. So don't try to conceal your failures. I'm going to blow it. I've learned to confess to the board. I come in and say, guys, you're going to have to forgive me or fire me. I hope you forgive me. Our last deacon meeting, I had to go in and say, man, I've blown it. I'm thankful for a board who has given me permission to fail occasionally and not crucify me whenever I do. Second thing you got to do is don't be discouraged by your failures, because failures can really discourage you. When you fail in life, just know this, you're in really good company. Yep. Sir Walter Scott, Thomas Edison, Richard Byrd, Walt Disney, all were considered failures before they went on to their greatest achievements. Abraham Lincoln suffered a string of failures before he was elected to presidency. His country store went out of business. As a young lawyer, he had trouble getting clients. He was defeated in his campaigns for the state legislature, the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the vice presidency. Yet very few, if any, Americans have had more impact on history than Abraham Lincoln. The Bible's full of these people too. The Bible is full of people that we read about their failures, but God took them and used them to accomplish great things for His service. He took a slave that was hiding as a fugitive from justice and used him to deliver an entire nation from bondage. His name was Moses. He took a woman who failed in marriage 7 times and used her to win a city to the Savior. We don't know her name, but we call her the woman at the well. He took a crooked tax collector and made him into an apostle and a biographer of the Christ. His name was Matthew. He took a man who failed Christ in his darkest hour, denying him 3 times, and used him to open up the doors to the kingdom of God. His name was Peter. And this is it, folks. I believe with all that is in me, He can do the same thing in our lives. God doesn't give up on His kids. You see, He's still looking at us and He's saying, man, I've created you for more than what you're doing right now. I've created you for something big. I've created you to change the neighborhood you live in. I've created you to change your family. I've created you to change the atmosphere in this service. I was so thankful. People just started getting up and coming to the altar this morning. Folks, I'm telling you, this altar's open if you want to come and worship at the altar. Got some young people up there with their hands raised up. I'm just sad we don't have some more young people in here this morning. Filling these altars. God's not going to give up on us. He's a timeless potter. Man, I bought me a potter's wheel not long back because I was going to make me some pottery. Let me just tell you something. It ain't as easy as they make it look. Well, you just do this and this and this, and then you got a vase. I did all them things, and I just had a lump of clay going all over the place. Sometimes I think that's kind of like my life. God's put His hands on me and He's forming me. He's getting me just where I want to be, and all of a sudden, and He just goes, Watson. But instead of cutting that clay off the wheel and throwing it on the ground and starting with a new piece, He says, I'm going to get this guy into the shape I need him in eventually. I'm going to spin him on this wheel till that bugger gets so dizzy he's got to give up. See, don't think for a moment that you've spoiled the clay and the potter's going to give up on you. Because you know, the thing is, so often I hear this from people. They say, you know, whenever I was a kid, God spoke some things to me about what He wanted me to do. And I have yet to fulfill those things. This morning, I'm trying to take the chalk block out from underneath you. Because if you are fearful about taking a step of obedience and saying, God, use my life. Use me in this dark world that we live in. Folks, there are people who need you. They need you with every bit of energy that I can expend right now and tell you they need your life. They need what you have on the inside of you. They have no hope. And we've got to go to them and we've got to win them for the gospel's sake. But this morning, if you're paralyzed in fear, there's no way you're going to get over that chalk block. So first thing you got to do is, man, don't conceal your failures. The second thing is, just don't get discouraged by them. If you fail, just get up and say, man, I'm not like this guy in Matthew 25:25. I'm like the Apostle Paul. For heaven's sake, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It might take me 10 attempts, but I'm going to get it done. Okay, 11 attempts. I'm going to get it done. Are you with me? Because I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The third thing and last one is this: don't fear failure, and let it keep you from attempting great things for God. Oh, I couldn't do that. Good grief, that takes somebody with a Bible school diploma. You know, the greatest men and women of God that have ever walked the face of this earth did not have any formal Bible training whatsoever. Come on now. I'm not discouraging anybody from getting Bible training, because you need Bible training. But I want to tell you something. That's not what qualifies you. That's not what qualifies you. What qualifies you is having Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, so as that you can make a statement. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I ran into the life of a man that told me, he said up until a certain time in his life, he couldn't even read. And he got a scholarship to play ball in college, and he could not even read. And so he began to pray, and he said, God, you got to help me with this. And God taught him how to read supernaturally. And he became a 4.0 student in school, in college. He was passed by his teachers because he was a very good athlete. So do you need a Bible degree? Maybe, if that's the way God leads you. But I'm just telling you, you can't let fear. I don't have one, so I'm scared to do it. I don't have the experience. Folks, most of the things God's going to call you to, you're not going to know how to do it anyway. Because if you knew how to do it, then you'd probably be getting all the glory for it, and God doesn't want that. He wants the glory for it. He wants you to stand back one day and say, man, God, what have you done through my life? I wasn't able to do this. I had no ability, but look what you have done. All the glory goes to you. Don't let fear keep you from attempting something great for God. I mean, folks, I think that there are some people out there that are literally petrified at the thought of failure. I mean, petrified. You know what that means? They don't move. Petrified? They don't move. And let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of movement. I mean, some people are so scared of failure that they'd rather face anything than that ego-shattering experience of trying something and having it end in failure. You notice I threw in the word ego there. That's a lot of what our failure's about. Well, what will my family think if I fail? Who cares? I mean, really. I've long since written my family's thoughts about me off. They've got some. I'm the black sheep in my family. They don't understand my lifestyle. They have no idea what it is that I do. But even if your family's close to you, what does it matter? You got a family that are a bunch of godly people around you. They should be praying for you. Man, he blew it, but we're gonna pray for him. We're going to believe God that this next time he's going to achieve what it is that God's placed in his heart to achieve. Well, we got this fear that our egos are going to be shattered if we try something and we fail at it. And so we adopt this kind of strategy as I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to play it safe. And this is what I know, is it is time for us to quit playing it safe. I've mentioned this book a couple of times from the pulpit. It's called A Trip Around the Sun, written by a guy named Richard Foth, which is a dear friend of mine. And it talks about us going around the sun. You know what that is? It's a year. A trip around the sun. And folks, it has begun to change my perspective on the way I live. I don't have very many more trips around the sun. I will tell you this. Unless I live to be 110, half of my trips around the sun are already gone. And I'm thinking to myself, how many more do I have? And I'm believing God that I'm going to step out and not play it safe. And there is something left that he wants me to do that is going to change the fabric of this community for Christ's sake. I don't want to be like the steward in this story where he comes and he's buried the potential that God gave him in the ground. Folks, you all have, every one of you have a talent. This is what I teach people. Every one of you in this room is a 10 in something. Let me tell you something. I am a 0. No, okay. I am a -5 whenever it comes to playing the piano. And the guitar and any other musical instrument. I have no musical ability whatsoever, except I can play a mean CD. Okay, so don't expect me to be a 10 in that area, but there are people in this room that are 10 in that area. Are you with me? Every one of you in this room, you've got something on the inside of you that God's placed there, and you are a 10 in that area. And you can't bury that 10 in the ground. You got to say, Lord, you put it in me to invest it in your kingdom, to change the fabric of where it is that I live. So this morning, I'm just going to tell you something. You come to me and you go, Pastor, God's been dealing with me, man. I got to do something. And this is what I think he wants me to do. We're going to pray about it. And we're going to believe that God's going to give us direction. And then we're going to go forward on it. And this is what I promise you was going to happen. You're going to mess up. Absolutely. You're going to be coming in my office and you're going to have a confession right on the tip of your tongue. And Pastor Rick will have already told me what you did. You know what I'm going to tell you? Clean it up and let's go on. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yeah, you may have failed this time, but I'm telling you, God has chosen you for this ministry, and he's raising you up, and he's teaching you some things. And yeah, you learned some through the hard knocks method, but this is it. This ministry is going to fly in Jesus' name, and we're going to touch people's lives through the ministry that God has put inside of you. So just understand this. You need to know that in these next few days and weeks, as the Holy Spirit begins to speak into you, you cannot leave your talents buried in the dirt. You got to say, Jesus Christ, use me for the kingdom. You got to be free to fail. I will not shoot you if you come into my office. I might let Pastor Rick do it, but I won't. Just kidding. So you got to take that chalk block out from underneath you, that chalk block of fear that just says, man, I just can't do it. And you just got to begin to say, yes, I can do it. Because God has, first of all, destined me to do it. Are y'all with me? My son and I got into a conversation yesterday about the omniscience of God. You know, God knows everything. God knows everything. And I want to tell you something. You start playing that one out a long ways, that God knows everything, it starts making you have a headache. God knows everything. He's wound on the inside of you. Destiny. And we got to step up for that destiny in Jesus' name. Let me just mention one last person as Jared comes to help me close this thing this morning. There wasn't anybody in the Bible that was probably more free to fail than this guy named Jesus Christ. I mean, it's impossible to look at Jesus hanging on the cross and in any way, any moment could you put success over what it was he was doing. Are y'all with me? I mean, for heaven's sake, he was being crucified. He's hanging on the cross, and so it's impossible to say, hey, look at that guy, he's successful. But yet, Jesus let it happen. Literally, in a moment of selfless abandonance to the will of God, Jesus allowed it to happen. He was free to fail in the eyes of men that he might succeed in the eyes of God. See, this is kind of where I'm at with the last part of this message is, if you're going to do anything for God, let me just tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to risk something. You know, this camp, when it first started, our registrations were coming in exceedingly slow. I mean, we had 8-9 registrations, and I'm thinking, man. I mean, I'll confess this to you now. I didn't do it to Corey. I tried to keep him up, but I was a little nervous. because we really needed about 30 kids to make this thing happen. So we prayed about it. We talked to a lot of the kids, say, hey, you got friends? Invite them to camp. And pretty soon our registration started coming in. But see, the fact of the matter is this. God has destined us to succeed. I don't know if it was anything we did, anything we didn't do, but at the last moment, we ended up with 30 kids. I had 31 registrations, but one of them didn't show up. I'm so thankful for those 30 kids that came. I'm thankful for those young people who went out and said, hey, friend of mine, come to camp with us. We had such a wonderful mixture of kids. Different backgrounds, different places in life. We even had a few kids from other churches, and that's okay. But ultimately, you have to know God's hand is on your life, and He wants you to succeed with all that is in Him. And this is what I know. Whoever directed camp this year and God are a pretty good team. See, we could have just been fearful and say, oh, we're just not going to do it when we got 9 kids. I think we had kids registering for camp like the last second they could have registered. It's okay. We risk it. I went to y'all and asked you for $4,500 to do this camp, and it would have been terrible. It would have been awful if it had come and said, we're not going to do it this year. Don't have enough kids. Y'all finding what I'm saying? There's risk involved in everything. But God's got your back. It's Him that wants to make you successful. It's Him that wants to touch lives through your life. And so this morning, one thing I want you to take away from this message. You're free to fail. You're free to fail. Because I know it just scares the liver out of so many of us. However, you are not free to bury your talents in the ground. You have been created with a divine purpose. I look at these young people and I think to myself, man, Ashley, God has got something so cool for you, man. So cool. I don't care what you've been through in your life. Know this, that God has His eye on you. And He's got something spectacular for you, and you got to believe it. More than from your family, more than from your brother, He has His hand on your life. There's nothing you can't achieve. But you got to be free. Know you're free if you launch out there and you take a risk. You got to be free to fail every once in a while. Father, this morning we in Jesus' name come before You, and God, this is it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Nothing impossible to those who will believe for it. And so this morning, Father, I pray that, God, we don't have a bunch of talent barriers in this place. God, I pray if there's anybody that's buried their talent, God, they'll go out in the backyard and dig it up in Jesus' name. And they'll take that talent that You have so gracefully embedded in their lives, because they are a 10 in that area, Father. God, You will thrust them into ministry, God. That they'll look around their neighborhoods, their communities, their families, God. They'll look around and they'll find a need, Father God, and then they will begin to meet it. They'll meet it head on with what it is You put inside of them. And all fear, Father God, we abandon it in Jesus' name right now, God. I pray for anybody in this room that's struggling against that chock block of fear that just keeps us stationary, just keeps us petrified. I pray in Jesus' name that through a spiritual experience right now in your life, literally it's going to be jerked out from underneath you and your wheels are free to roll. Hallelujah. I know that the hour is late this morning. I got a late start. But I'm going to ask anyone in this room, let me put it to you this way. Some of you may not have buried all your talents. You may have just buried a couple of them. Some of you may not be investing your talents in the way you really should invest them. You know that there's just some things you're holding back. But this is what you're thinking right now because the Spirit of God's dealing with your life. This is what you're thinking. I want to do something for the kingdom. I want to do something for Jesus. It's just like that story. You're thinking big right now. You're thinking big. You're thinking big. If that's you in this room, I'm going to ask you to come to the altars and we're going to pray over your life. Come on, you got a talent buried. You got a talent you're not using, but you know you need to be investing it in the kingdom. Come on, begin to step out of your seats and come. There are people in this room that you know you should be taking more of a risk than you are right now. Just begin to step out of your seats and come. Come on. Come on, young people. We need to pray for all of you in this room. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, there's others. There's others. This isn't about anything you've done wrong. This is just about what you're fixing to do right. You're going to begin to take that talent out and you're going to begin to use it for the kingdom of God. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask for somebody to get around every person that's at this altar. Just begin to lay your hands on their shoulders and we're going to pray over them. But all of you at the altar, I want you to listen to something. There's a guy named Youngi Cho that's a pastor over in Seoul, South Korea. He pastors the largest church in the world. At one time, it was over 1 million, and it's split so many times that it's down to about 650,000 now. But Youngi Cho, whenever he first started, he was preaching to about 10 people in a tent. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to preach like you're preaching to 2,000. And he had no microphone. And so he would just get up, and he would preach very loudly. Because he was preaching to 2,000, not just 10. Half the 10 was his family members. One of them just happened to be his mother-in-law. So one day after service, the mother-in-law asked him, she said, why do you scream so loud whenever you preach? And Youngi Cho said, because I'm preaching to 2,000 people. And in a few months, he indeed was preaching to 2,000. And then he was preaching to 10,000. And then 50,000. And literally his church was over 1 million people at one time. They had so many services. They have sanctuary seats about 37,000 and they couldn't get everybody in on 1 week and they did like 8 services. And so they had to rotate. You couldn't even come to church every week. You had to come whenever it's your turn. So this morning what I'm telling you is, I want you to start living your life like God's called you to live it. If he's called you to minister to unwed mothers, then you need to just say, Father, I'm going to be the best unwed mother minister you've ever had. I don't have it in my hands right now, but you are birthing a ministry into my hands. Start doing it like it's happening. You know, I need to start preaching like this place is full and running over. We're going to pray for you now. And we're going to believe God to just open your eyes to the talent that he has placed in you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for these, Lord God. Father, we pray for everybody in this church, Lord God, because there's some people sitting in their seats that should be up here. Father, we got to do it for your kingdom, Father. We got to do it like Paul. We got to tear it up, Father God, for your kingdom. There are lives that are out there today, Father God, that are so messed up, that are so broken. Father, they're so destroyed by sin. And Father, you have put it on us. You have given us the ministry of reconciliation. And there's things that we ought to be doing that we're not. And it's because, Father, there is talent and ability on the inside of us, God, that we've kept. We buried it. We've kept it to ourselves. And Father, this is it. We pray right now for a release in the spiritual realm. No more will fear be our chalk block that keeps us from moving, God. Fear is gone in the name of Jesus. We overcome it, oh God. And we walk in the perfect knowledge that, Father God, you are with us. And Father, if you are with us, who can be against us? Father, did you already declare through your word that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Your mighty Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And if that Spirit is inside of us, God, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Is there not anything we can't do? So, Father, in Jesus' name, we speak life to these ministries right now.